Deuteronomy chapter 6, and our text this morning is verse 16. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. We are looking at various texts in the book of Deuteronomy which are quoted in the New Testament. The book of Deuteronomy is quoted liberally in the New Testament. The only Old Testament book that is quoted more frequently in the New Testament is the book of Psalms. Deuteronomy stands next in line. And it happens that this particular text is quoted in the New Testament by our Lord as he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. The text that we looked at last week in Deuteronomy chapter 8 was also quoted by our Lord in the wilderness when he was tempted by the devil. And the text that we will look at next time in our study of the book of Deuteronomy is Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, which is also quoted by our Lord in the wilderness as he is tempted by the devil. So we are centering in on these particular verses and learning what they mean in the Old Testament context and how our Lord Jesus uses them in the New Testament, or how the Holy Spirit applies them in the New Testament. And I think there are great lessons to be learned along this line. I really do. The text again is Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. The theme that I have at the head of the outline is a simple one. We must not grumble and challenge the Lord. We must trust him and positively prove his faithfulness by doing his word. It seems that very often, if you're like me, that there is a testing in a negative sense of parents and of our Father who is in heaven. And that negative testing ought not to be our habit of life, but our proving the Word of God by doing it. And so that's what we're looking at this morning, and we will see how Jesus applies this particular text. The first point then in the outline, to show their love for God, Moses tells Israel to trust the Lord and not put him to the test. Verse 16 again. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we also find the great theme of this book. It's in verses 4 and 5 in chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And so our text comes under that great theme, that rubric which covers all of the book of Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy simply means second law, and it's a rehearsal of the law for the people. It's not like Leviticus, which was a rehearsal of the law of God for the priests and for the hierarchy. This is the law of God for the people. And the theme is the love of God and our love for him with all of our soul and might and strength. And the remainder of the book expounds how this love is to be expressed in various ways. And part of how that love is to be expressed is given to us in verse 16. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden and how They were told that there was only one tree in the middle of the garden of which they were not to eat. And all the rest of the trees in the world were theirs. And all the lush fruit of the trees in the rest of the garden and in the rest of the world was theirs. But because God put a fence around that one tree, the devil came in and the temptation was to push at that one fence. And how it is the same with each one of us. It seems when the boundaries are established, rather than enjoying life in the middle of that area where the boundaries are established and enjoying the life that God has given us, we often gravitate to the edge of that perimeter and we push on the edge to test. And children are like this, aren't they? I remember doing it as I was a kid, and my parents used to tell me that I was a little testy. It's a little bit different way to use the term, but they were saying to me, "You're testing me. Don't be so testy." And this is exactly what God is saying in Deuteronomy 6:16. "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah." And it's a negative testing. And the negative standard that God gives is Israel's conduct at Massah and Meribah. And we just sang about that. So let's go back to Exodus 17 and look at the situation there in Exodus 17, what the people did. Let's read Exodus 17 and the first few verses. "Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?'" See, there it is. God brought them out of bondage in Egypt, and He brought them into the wilderness, and He brought them down into the southern area of the peninsula of Sinai, close to Mount Sinai, or Horeb, and the people begin to grumble. "Why in the world did you bring us out here, Lord?" And what do the people say? Verse 3 says, "But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?'" "Why did you bring us out of Egypt, Moses? Did you have false motives? Did you want to just bring us out of Egypt so that we would die in the wilderness?" It's interesting, isn't it, that right away the people are testing the motives of Moses and of God. And if you're in a conversation, I know your response is that if an individual says something and it appears to be testing your motive, what is your thought? "Well, you don't have a right to do that. You don't have a right to tell me that I have a false motive. That's not right." Well, that's what the people of Israel were doing. And so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me." I guess they were a little upset. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, as you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people, that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he named the place Massah," which means test. and Meribah, which means quarrel, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" You see, it's a test of motives and a test as to the faithfulness of God in a negative way. I just remember so often when I was disciplined by my parents, I say it was so often, probably was often, that the response, if it wasn't verbal, was something like this: "Well, you don't love me." And that is often the response, isn't it? That the discipline, because you have been testy, is an indication of a lack of love. And that's the kind of attitude that was being harbored in the heart of Israel. Rather than positively proving the goodness of God, Israel was being testy. Now I want you to see something here which I think is kind of important. That it is proper for us to test the Lord in a positive way. And we see that sort of thing in Malachi. Please turn with me, if you would, to Malachi, which is the very last book in the Old Testament, and chapter 3 in Malachi, and the 10th verse. Very end of the Old Testament. Malachi 3:10. And notice what God says to the people of Israel here. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." And the idea here is that God is saying, "Test me and see if my word is not true, and that I am faithful in every respect. Test me in that way." And here it has specifically to do with the tithe that is commanded by God. Sometimes we will say to ourselves, "You know, if I set aside that 10%, I'm not going to have enough for the rest of the month." And God says, "Test me if I will not be faithful to you and open the windows of heaven, and you will see that you will have more than enough when you are faithful to me and follow my word." And the problem with the people of Israel was that they were not prepared to follow the word of God in this way. And they were provoked at Moses. And so, we ought to be prepared to follow the word of God and to test God's faithfulness by doing his bidding in every respect. Well, that's the background, it seems to me, of Deuteronomy 6:16. "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, as you tested him at Massah." Jesus quotes this verse. Let's see how he uses it. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Maybe we should read the context here a little bit in Matthew 4. Let's read verses 1 through 6. And then we'll get to the quotation of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's from Deuteronomy chapter 8, Jesus quotes it. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." The devil takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple, and it may have been on the edge of the city overlooking the valley of Hinnom, which was very deep, and it was a very precipitous fall into that valley. And the devil says, "Throw yourself off." It'd be like going up on top of Cooper and getting up there by the bell tower and saying to the Lord, "The Bible says, if I throw myself off, the angels will come and catch me." Right. Probably not. And Jesus knew that that was the case. And it was an improper use of Scripture, an improper quotation of Psalm 91. "He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." What is the job of the angels anyway? Well, keep your finger there in Matthew chapter 4, and let's go back to Hebrews, the very first chapter and verse 14. Quickly looking at what the Bible says about the angels. Hebrews 1:14, about the angels. "Are they not ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" Are they not sent out to render service to people like you and me so that we will inherit salvation? Are they not sent out to protect us and guide us as instruments in the hands of God? Yes. And we often pray in our congregation when people are traveling, "May the ministry of the angels be with them, to guide and protect them and bring them safely to their destination." The angels are ministering spirits sent to assist those and be with those who are to inherit salvation. And if individuals are to inherit salvation, dear friends, they must not stumble over Christ. They must not stumble over the stumbling stone of Jesus Christ. They must not stumble over the rock, which is Christ. And one of the principal things that the angels will do will be to guide us by the work of the Spirit and by the hand of the Almighty to Christ, so that we will not stumble over him. And look at what Psalm 91 says again in Matthew chapter 4. "He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone," so that you will not stumble. Thank you, Lord, for that ministry, which will help me so that I will not stumble over the stumbling stone. I will not stumble over Christ. And so our Lord Jesus, knowing the ministry of the angel, and knowing the meaning of Psalm 91, how God would protect His people and watch over them and care for them, was unwilling to test God and to be tested as Israel was tested. He was unwilling to do that. And so Jesus says in verse 7, On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Do you suppose Jesus knew the rest of Deuteronomy 6:16? You suppose He did know the rest of that verse? Well, I would guess He did. As the people tested the Lord at Massa. And I think Jesus, no doubt, remembered Massa and the people in the wilderness and how they grumbled against Moses and grumbled against God and put God to the test. And so when Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16, He said in His own heart, no, I am not going to be like that. I am not like that. And I do not test God in that fashion. The Bible says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And Jesus, the Son of God, the preeminent Son of God, was obedient to the Father. You do remember that other Son of God, do you not? Adam, who was tested in the garden, and he failed. Not our Lord Jesus. He, as the Son of God, answers the devil and sustains the test. And so, I think once again, there is a twofold lesson for us here. We are to test the Lord positively, not negatively. There are many precepts which are given in the Scriptures. And in Deuteronomy, there are many precepts which are given. And one of the wonderful precepts which is given in Deuteronomy, which our Lord Jesus also refers to in the Gospels, is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And by the grace of God, we are to love God and display our love for God by keeping all of His precepts and doing His will. You know, one of the interesting things in our society today and in the church today is a compromise which is rampant, in my estimation, a compromise with the world. And in many, many ways, there is little difference between the church and the world. And one of the precepts that is given to us in the Bible is that we should not be in partnership with the world. We should not enter into partnerships where we are bound to the world. Now, how do you avoid this? Well, some of you have been in partnerships, as I have been in partnerships, in various types of professional practice. And one of the precepts in the Bible is not to be in partnership with unbelievers. God said that to Israel, and God says that to Christians. And this pertains to marriage, too, that we are not to be in partnership in marriage with unbelievers. And for some strange reason, we want to break down the barrier between Christianity and the world at this very point. And we are able to display our overriding love for God by keeping this kind of a precept, by saying to the world, no, I won't be in partnership with you. I am united to Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and my God, and I will serve Him with all that is in me. I will love the Lord with all my heart. And that's a good thing, isn't it? It really is a good thing. And we need more of it. And what happens? We fall. We fail. We do stumble. And we stumble often and in many ways. But dear friends in Christ, hear the Word of God. And look again at Matthew chapter 4, verses 5, 6, and 7. Look at this text with me. The devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And Jesus stood and said, in essence, I am the Son of God. And I am the Son of God representing a people of God. And I will, by the grace of God, keep the commandment of God on behalf of my people. And he did so. And when we fail, we can look to Jesus, who has not failed. And he kept all of the precepts perfectly for us, on our behalf, and opened up for us that way into glory itself. Praise be unto God that this is indeed the case. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 16. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah. Is there a Massah in your life where you tested the Lord? Well, I don't want to talk about mine. It'd be a little embarrassing. Jesus Christ passed the test for me. And I'm very thankful that that's the case. Are you not also thankful that Jesus Christ passed the test for you? Let's pray together. Father, oh God, forgive us of our sins. they are many and great. We pray, Lord, that you be pleased by your grace to show us plentifully, abundantly, fully, the work of Jesus Christ on behalf of people like us. Give us faith by the deep work of your Spirit to embrace Jesus, the Son of God, who did not test you, but lived for you. And he did so for us. We thank you. We praise you. We do indeed worship you for your goodness and grace. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.